Well, welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. During our second segment this morning, we are going to check in and find out what's happening on the local education front, and we're pleased to be joined on the telephone by Kathy Parker, Tuolumne County Superintendent of Schools. Superintendent Parker, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, BJ.
Well, first thing I'll ask you about is, you know, when it comes to students being physically on campus, they've been, you know, at home for the past couple of weeks. What is kind of the latest when it comes to that issue?
Well, I wanted to remind people that last week was spring break, and when we come back on the 30th, we would have typically come back to our school sites and started school again until the remainder of the year. Currently, in cooperation with all of the public schools in Tuolumne County, we are going to remain closed through Monday, April 13th, with an anticipated return date of April 14th. We are constantly revisiting that return date, and next week we'll be talking with guidance from our public health officer and with our community partners and all of our public school districts in Tuolumne County to make a decision on whether to extend that or not. We don't take those decisions lightly, but we do want to make sure that we're protecting not only our students and families, but also the staff that are so vital to keeping our schools running. We do want to remind parents that just because schools are in session doesn't mean that we want students not to practice those good social distancing behaviors. We want them to not treat it as spring or summer break, keep students away from each other and no large play dates, sleepovers, or parties. Parents should try to keep children active during the closure. We encourage people to take walks, again, using social distancing protocols, bike rides and other outdoor or indoor fitness activities. But we do want to strive to keep children from gathering together in large groups.
Graduation, you know, ceremonies and so forth. You know, right now there's a lot of uncertainty down the road. Is that something that's being looked at as well?
Yes, we expect to receive some guidance from the CDE on how to approach graduation. But I first want to acknowledge that for our seniors and our eighth graders that are moving on to their next grade, this is an important benchmark in their life, and to have it possibly taken away from them, they've looked forward to it for a very long time. We understand the devastation that they feel at this time. We know that they've worked so hard for this moment, and we understand that it is a very sad time for them if graduation does not go on. And again, that's another decision that's not taken lightly. It is one that is made with an abundance of caution to keep everyone safe. We want to ensure, though, that the students in the class of 2020 are on track to graduate. It's one of our important priorities. And so right now we are asking school districts to review the status of each of their seniors in high school to determine the extent to which the student has met local or state minimum graduation requirements. And what we expect from the California Department of Ed is to be given a lot of flexibility around the graduation requirements for the class of 2020. This will also have an impact on juniors, sophomores, and freshmen that will be coming up because they have missed completions of their required courses for graduation. So we expect that flexibility to be extended into those classes as well. We do expect guidance from the CDE, but our commitment is to provide reasonable flexibility in the interest of what's doing right for students. And we may be looking, that's a ways away, that's in June, our graduation timeline. But if we have to, we'll definitely do something to celebrate and honor the achievement of those students, whether it's virtually or in another manner.
Changing the topic, in the short term, what are some of the innovative ways you're looking at to try to educate students during this time?
Well, even though it's been spring break and we were closed for the week before, I can assure everybody that teachers and educators around the county have been working on switching over to a virtual or remote learning type of classroom, even if internet or devices are not available. Some of the immediate work that's been done is a very typical packet-based instruction. But I want to also let the community know that teachers are working on bringing online things that are virtual, such as Google Classroom, that some of our teachers have already been using. Some of those that haven't been using it are learning how to use it. They have curated resources and created their own website pages with lesson designs that include in-person, paper and pencil kind of things that kids can do at home, and then also online learning. But something I'm really excited about is all of our teachers around the county have gotten together in a collaborative using Zoom and lots of online collaborative tools to create something called the Extended Learning Opportunity Platform. And in that platform, there'll be daily lessons that people can go to and do with their students by grade level. Within that, it'll have a paper pencil option or online options as well. And it has in there embedded differentiated assistance for students with disability, students who may need to have additional assistance in accessing that type of learning. In addition, it has an activity of the day, and it will have a field trip of the week. And the other part that goes along with it that I'm very excited is we are working with Access Tuolumne, which is on cable channel Comcast 8, channel 8. And we've already had some of our teachers coming in, practicing social distancing, and doing some story time, and they're reading. Our local teachers are going to be basically doing a PBS type of thing and reading stories to the students. We're extending that next week to online science activities. We're going to have some of our teachers going out remotely, all alone, into places like the Red Hills and Table Mountain to do virtual field trips to help support the learning of just the paper packet and the online things, but to give them some connection to their local teachers. We're very excited about that.
You have to imagine that'll be pretty exciting for the students to see their teacher and get that connection again.
That is part of what we really are striving to do. The academic knowledge is important. We don't discount that at all. But I think what our community, our teachers, our students, our families really need is an opportunity to connect with each other in a learning type of atmosphere. And so seeing your teacher on TV, being able to see them out on a field trip, it helps reassure everybody that there is some normalcy in the world, that soon it will pass and we'll be fine. And it allows our teachers to have an opportunity to try some things that they've been wanting to do that they just haven't had the time to do. So we're going to use this as a way to broaden our instructional practices and to reach our local kids with a more personal touch than just online learning.
I've heard some pretty positive feedback in the community, too, about all the lunches being served to the students during this time. Can you tell us a little bit about what's taking place there?
Sure. We cannot expect families in this time and age to be able just to dive right into academic learning if their basic needs aren't being met. And over about 50% of our students in Tuolumne County rely on our free and reduced lunch program. In addition, if you've been to the store lately, you've noticed that there has been a depletion of some of the real basics that families rely upon to feed their families. And some of our families are simply losing their jobs, and that is very devastating to them. One thing we want to reassure families is that we will continue to feed all students. Anybody 0 to 18 that needs a meal, we will provide that meal to them 5 days a week. We did it over spring break. Even though we weren't required to, we are completely committed to that endeavor. So starting with school starting up again on March 30th, even though we're not in person, we will be publishing our sites where families can either go and pick up meals or arrange for meal delivery. We know that transportation is quite a challenge in this time. And so we will be working with all school districts to make sure anybody 0 to 18 has a meal provided to them during this closure, just as we do during the regular school year.
Well, Superintendent Parker, you've touched on a number of topics. Anything else I didn't ask about that would be worth getting out to the public this morning?
Well, one thing I did want to say is that we want to make sure that we're focused on what is really important during this time. So, you know, when we're looking at why we're doing this so that we can make sure that people are staying healthy and safe. We want to protect those who are in our most vulnerable populations. We want to keep our whole community safe. And families are worried about a lack of work. And those that are essential workers, our grocery store workers, our first responders, all of those folks that are working every day, they're worried about their own health as they come into contact with other community members. And that's really the focus of where people's mindset are right now. We want to make sure that whatever we're providing in terms of instruction and support to families is helping them cope through this very difficult time. We don't want to add to their worries about completing work packets and online assignments. That should be secondary. And you should reach out to your school district, to your principal, to your teacher, if that is of great concern to you. We know that many of our older students are actually working with their younger siblings and helping them with their schoolwork. This should be a time where we're coming together and focused again on that primary goal, which is staying safe and healthy. And whatever we can do to help with the learning comes secondary. And I know that's kind of odd coming from an educator, but that's why we're doing this. That's why everyone's staying home. That's why we're doing a shelter in place. And we've got to keep our mind on that goal first.
One other quick question. You mentioned with the instruction that is being put together, Tuolumne County is kind of a unique situation with various different school districts. Have the districts kind of been working together and collaborating different things?
They have been collaborating. This extended learning opportunity is actually a collaborative effort of all the teachers in all the different school districts. But also keep in mind that every school district has their own way of doing things, and it works very well for them and their families. So we're not trying to intrude on that, and we're not trying to direct people in that, but we want to provide lots of opportunities for people to work together because, again, we're in it together, and by working together, we help lighten the load a bit, and we help connect with each other and support each other in this time. So all of the districts will have their own rollout plan in regards to providing distance learning, and they'll provide that information to their families directly. And then the extended learning opportunities will be part of that through a variety of different ways.
Well, Superintendent Parker, thank you for the update and keep us posted.
I will. Absolutely.
Again, that was Kathy Parker, Tuolumne County Superintendent of Schools, getting us up to speed on everything education-wise when it comes to local schools in Tuolumne County during this coronavirus pandemic. Earlier, we heard from Dr. Eric Sergenko, Tuolumne County's interim public health officer. And during our final segment coming up next, we're going to hear from Cole Prisabilla. He is Tuolumne County's Director of Innovation and Business Assistance. He's going to get us up to speed on what programs are available locally for businesses that are impacted during this uncertain time. Reminder to find all the latest news on COVID-19 as well up on mymotherload.com. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment is coming up in just a minute.